listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
Okay, what up, what up, what up, Canes fans? It is the Fours Up Podcast, and we're doing it a little bit different today. As always, it's your boy Marsh coming at you live. It's Tuesday, August 4th, I believe, and Jordan is not here today. Instead, I am joined by my brother from another, my good friend, Mike McCoy. Mike, what up, man?
What's up, Marsh, man? Thanks for having me on, dude. How you been?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I leave for Miami tomorrow, so I am just all the works. I'm giddy as hell. I'm excited to get out of Utah. I'm ready to get down to South Florida, but I am doing good. How are you doing, man?
Not bad, man. We're waiting for you to get down here. The weather's waiting for you. Make sure you toss back a couple on that plane ride. We'll get off the plane.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we got a ton of things to go over. First off, a lot of recruiting news. Jason Marshall, five-star cornerback, one of the Palmetto Five, was expected to commit this past weekend, but as you know, some things just did not. It didn't happen for one reason or another. I was with my friends on a guy's trip this weekend, so I didn't really see what was going on. From your end, Mike, you know, what could you kind of tell just from the social media timeline or just reading some articles? What did you pick up?
Right. So, I mean, from the outside looking in, man, you know, just not knowing anything, you kind of got to think like, okay, something happened. Right? Because all this momentum and, you know, all signs point to Miami, crystal balls and everything like that. And then all of a sudden Manny, you know, tweets his, hey, like something's going to happen. It gets everybody excited. And all of a sudden crickets, what the hell happened? So then, you know, you start wondering like, what could it be? And I'm like, okay, is Bama swooping in late? Is some SEC school swooping in late? What's going on? But I don't know, man. That's just my non-official, speculation. Mm-hmm. And that's just it, man. I really haven't seen or heard anything else about what it could be, but that's what just kind of pops into my head and what kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. And understandably, Canes fans are losing their shit. I mean, they are losing their mind. Like, they don't know how to act right now. And, I mean – Some of them you can't really blame them because, I mean, how many times have we been the butt of the joke for not getting these kind of cornerbacks?
That's a very good point. I will say this. People need to hop off Andrew Ivins because when Andrew Ivins says he doesn't do things for clout, he doesn't do things for whatever. He's a stand-up dude, and whenever he says something, it's because he knows it, and he was told this from the horse's mouth. So if he said, hey, look, it's going to be moved back to the weekend, I'm pretty sure he didn't just come out with that, you know, out of his ass or anything like that. But that's number one. Number two, going back to your point about us getting burned, not only just for cornerbacks, but for big time local guys. That's why I felt personally, a lot of people disagree with it. That's why I felt like if there was one spot left in the class and it was between Jake Garcia and James Williams, I felt that getting James was bigger for the program because it's a five-star local guy. How many times have we missed out on that?
A lot. But I do like how you talked about Andrew Ivins because I think that's a good point. Like, people are saying how Andrew Ivins ruined the kid's moment. Ivins is just doing his job.
Yep.
Like, what is he doing wrong this time that he hasn't already done with all these other commits?
That is a very good point. And also, if he says that, he's not going to say something like that with the commit saying, hey, Andrew, I'm telling you this, but I don't want you to tell anybody. I'm telling you this because you work for 24/7 or whatever. He obviously said that knowing it was okay to put out.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, like, you look, this commitment that we're expecting, it's going to be over the weekend. I've never met the guy, so I know it sounds like I'm going to bat for him, but that's just the kind of vibe I get. He's a professional, and Canes fans need to hop off and because you love him when he's right. You know, so
exactly. Yeah. And people just need to chill. I still think we end up with Jason Marshall, but yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking knowing that Bam is probably pushing really, really hard right now, and Jason Marshall has said publicly that he, you know, playing for Nick Saban would be a dream come true. So I think it's going to be an interesting next few days. But the last piece of recruiting news I wanted to touch on is we are now 2 days, a little less than 48 hours from the announcement of Leonard Taylor, 5-star defensive tackle. He will be announcing between the Gators and the Canes which one he wants to play for. Mike, how are you feeling about this?
Oh, man. I hate drinking the Kool-Aid, and I believe he's going to choose Miami, right? Like, all signs point to it. But just like how you said, just, you know, how you alluded to a little bit earlier, how many times have we been burned and left at the altar? Remember Alex Collins, you know?
Yeah, and, well, I don't remember that because I haven't really followed recruiting more than this past year. But I remember Romello Height.
Oh man. Yeah, you know, perfect example, more recent example, something like that. Somebody that's been, yeah, Miami, this, that, or whatever. And not that Leonard Taylor has been saying it, but it's been clear, working out with Tommy Streeter, but, you know, wearing Miami gear in the workouts. But I think Tommy Streeter, the fact that he's been in his ear and working out with him for so long, that's what kind of makes me feel okay. But even if he says, yes, I'm picking Miami, nothing matters until December. And that could change, man.
Yeah, it really could. And, if we win this year, then I think they'll stay, but we need to win. We need to win. Oh my gosh. But yeah, 2 days, and I'm so happy that I'll be down in Florida. I'll be driving down to the Florida Keys during that time. I think he's announcing at like 1 o'clock Florida time, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's like 1 o'clock. Yes, you're right, because I saw something on the timeline about that. But yeah, 1 o'clock is that sounds about right.
Okay, perfect. And Kay, so those are the two big things, and we have covered both of those guys in length on this podcast because recruiting has been the only talk of the timeline, things like that. We got some bigger news, and that is fall camp starts in 3 days.
Dude, that makes me feel so
We were talking about this before the show. I didn't even realize it.
You're like, I'm going to be in Miami. Oh, my God. When fall camp starts. Holy crap.
Dude, it starts in 3 days. We're going to be playing football in 3 days.
Canes are back at Green. I mean, just look at yourself in the mirror and say it. The Canes are on Green Tree in 3 days. That just makes me want to freaking just run through a wall.
Yeah. And honestly, like, it feels just like it did last year. Like, we were so excited this time last year. Oh, we were doing your Sunday show back then, and – man, and it just feels like it was just yesterday, and now it's here again. Okay, and so for all you listeners, you might have remembered back in springtime before the Canes were about to start spring camp, Mike came on and we discussed the defensive lineup with us. Today, Mike and I, we wanted to go over the offense for the Hurricanes going into fall camp because this is really where position battles are won and lost. This is where you know, the official depth chart is going to come out. And on Friday, we kick off September 7th, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So we are almost a month away from the Rhett Lashley era, Manny Diaz part two. So let's go over some broad things first. The Rhett Lashley offense, you got Rob Likens coaching the receivers, Garen Justice at offensive line. You still got Hickson with the running backs. How are you feeling about this new Miami offense heading into this 2020 season?
Well, dude, I mean, when you hear Lashley say that we're going – or was it Manny or Lashley? I can't remember. I think it was Lashley saying that we're going to have like a power spread. Doesn't that just make you feel a certain type of way? Like, holy crap, that just sounds sexy as hell because like – not only is it everything that, you know, these guys have needed in the past, but it's everything Canes fans have wanted to hear. Power, spread. We're going to be great in the air. We're going to be, you know, great on the ground. And I'm looking for a tweet because Roman Kane We all know that that guy's like a walking encyclopedia when it comes to, you know, offense and schemes and everything like that. He asked the masses, he said, does anybody have a question about this offense? You know, drop it here. And of course I did. So I was kind of confused about, you know, power spread. Like, how is that going to work? You know, we're asking guys to trim down and get in shape to run 80 plus plays. And he was saying, well, it's not necessarily, you know, a bulk kind of thing, but more like a numbers game. Like, we're going to be running behind double teams and doubling certain guys and stuff like that. I'll read it to you once I find it. But dude, I'm excited, man, because I want to see how this team does in short yardage situation, which Miami has sucked at for the past, I don't know how many years. I'm excited, dude. Wide open offense for athletes. Can't get any better than that.
So, I mean, and we have talked about this so much that, especially with besides a few years under Golden, this offense for the last 15, 20 years has been abysmal.
Right.
Completely horrific. And, you know, from our days with Berlin, then to Kyle Wright, then to, I mean, it's just been rough, rough, rough. And
right.
So when you hear the words power spread, what comes into your mind? What do you think Canes fans should be excited to see? Because, I mean, you first hear spread offense and a lot of people are going to assume that, you know, we're going to be seeing like Texas Tech, Washington State type right. of air it out kind of thing. But when you hear power spread, what comes to your mind?
I was thinking whenever we need to muscle it on the ground, we look like Wisconsin. Whenever we want to air it out, we look like Colt Brennan in the Hawaii days. That's what I thought. Ooh. So I found the tweet that I was referring to, and Roman was saying that with SMU, it was a lot of doubles at the point of attack and simply avoiding the second and tertiary defenders. Hmm. It worked for the most part. That is power. Wouldn't say duo because no emphasis to get into the second level. They use numbers on the perimeter to loosen up the box. He also went on to say, and main types are man, zone, and gap. In something tempo-driven, man and zone are typically your up-tempo derivatives. Your more complex gap runs, counters, trays, and powers are used as well. It just all depends on what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, he gave a lot of info. There is also a power run that falls under the gap scheme. It's so complicating aside. I see what we want to be a power team, meaning mentally. And if I were to bet, the team will mix between various blocking schemes. Where Rick was more zone heavy, I say Lashley will favor more some man slash some gap. So
okay,
take that for what it's worth.
Okay. No, yeah, perfect. And let's go through, you know, these offensive positions, and the most important one obviously is the quarterback position. And we finally have a quarterback. We have De'Ara King. We've talked about him a bunch, you know, 36 touchdowns, 14 rushing touchdowns in 2018 with Houston. The guy is the ultimate weapon, the guy that we've been begging for, literally pleading for. Miami as a quarterback for the Hurricanes. So how confident are you in De'Ara King? Do you think we'll see 2018 version of him, or do you think we will see him struggle a little bit?
This is literally his money year. Okay. He's playing with a chip on his shoulder, and I think he's playing. Well, when I say that, I mean, I take that back. Not necessarily a chip on his shoulder, but he's definitely playing for something. We all know that he suffered the loss of his father in the offseason, you know, right around the time that he transferred here. And so I think he's playing with that in mind. And, oh, I'm sorry, he is in something called Heisman contender talks. So the nation knows about him. We have a player. He's dynamic, and he's literally something that Miami has never had at the quarterback position. Well, kind of, you know, we've had, you know, kind of runners and everything, but this guy's dynamic. He can make plays with his feet. You know, he can make every throw. And so I'm very confident in him. I'm very confident because I think he's going to be a leader. I think he's going to be the leader that we need for the offense. He's going to hold guys accountable. And he's not playing around. He came here for a reason. He loves what Lashley's running, obviously. And if he didn't have confidence in the system, and obviously there's talent here, we know that that's never been an issue. I'm super confident in what he could bring to the table, man. Yes, I do hope that we see 2018, something close to 50 touchdowns on the year.
Wow. That's shooting for the stars right there. You think that he can actually get close to 50 total touchdowns?
I think that he's going to throw for more than 20 touchdowns, and I think that he's going to run for – I'm going to say he's going to run for close to 10. He might have the team lead in rushing touchdowns. Who knows? Because he can. And, yeah, I think he's going to throw for – 25 to 30. Total touchdowns, I'm saying in the high 30s, maybe mid 40s. Sure. Total touchdowns between.
Well, and that would be a school record, I believe.
Sounds like a school record.
Because I think I think the record for passing touchdowns in a season is like 28 or something like that. It's really not that crazy of a number. It really isn't. Okay, so quarterbacks wise, obviously Derek King. I mean, he's already been named the starter, which is pretty crazy, just considering what the situation was last year. I mean, I don't think it was like 2 weeks into fall camp before Jaren was named the starter. Boy, that was just a crazy ass time. But yeah, now we have Derek. There's no drama. Everyone knows who QB1 is. Mike, how big do you think of an impact that is when you don't have that starting quarterback drama like the Canes have had the past 2 years?
You're asking like what it does to the team when you don't know who the guy is?
Or just how much of a difference does it make this year now that they don't have to speculate in the preseason and even in the regular season who the starter is?
Dude, I think that does a lot, because not only does it kind of cause confusion between whoever is involved, but I also think it causes division, because if the coaching staff is flip-flopping, it's human nature that it's going to happen amongst the players in the locker room. And, well, I think this guy should be starting, and I think this guy should be starting. And then, you know, that's what causes a rift. Not in the locker room. I don't know what the hell's going on. You know, don't have any inside news or anything like that, but I think it was kind of evident. Like you see, like, I mean, fans do it. It's only natural for the players to do it. Look, I'm a Kosi guy. No, I'm a Jaren guy, you know, whatever. But I think it will bring a sense of calm over the guys, knowing that, look, this is our guy. Okay. He is a fifth year senior. We know what he can do. We got to listen to him. If everybody is just on one accord, okay, and they really put aside their and I think that's the big thing, not scheme, not talent. I think it's ego. And you just say, look, let's do our job. Let's listen to this guy because he wants to win just as much as anything. I really think that it's not going to be an issue. But that's a huge thing, man. Knowing who your leader is and it's unquestioned and you have that same sense of direction in the locker room. That's an underrated aspect for any team in any sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just see the problems that it brought to the quarterback room and just the team in general over the past 2 years. I mean, it was a huge, huge distraction. But I think that we can all agree that we are very comfortable in Derek King as our quarterback for 2020. Okay, let's move to the running backs, a position group that you and I talked about the other night on your show, on SiriusXM. Okay, we got DJ Dallas is gone. Lorenzo Lingard is gone. But I'm not worried about our running back room. I really, really like Cam Harris. I think he'll be the starter. And then I think it's up to Jalen Knighton, your boy Robert Burns, or Don Chaney as to who will be that second running back in that rotation. So let's talk about that first. Who do you think will back up Cam Harris?
I was getting a little bit of static. Were you asking me who am I kind of thinking who's going to back up Harris?
Yeah.
The offense is new to everybody, so nobody has a leg up, right? So you have college playing experience if you're Burns, but that's about it. You don't have any heads up on the playbook because Chaney and Knighton have been here. So with that being said, it's up to what you could do at Green Tree and reps and everything like that. I'm going to say Chaney.
Ooh.
I'm going to say Chaney. Between him and Knighton, I mean, you can't go wrong, but I just think Chaney's going to be getting the bulk of the carry between the two freshmen. you know I love Robert Burns. Again, mm-hmm. and I wear this stat out, or not stat, but whatever you want to call it. But he was ranked ahead of DJ Dallas, Jonathan Garvin, Trajan Bandy, and of course, what's his name over at Clemson? What's their starting running back's name? I'm drawing a blank.
Etienne.
Travis Etienne. Yeah. Robert Burns was ranked ahead of all of these guys when they came out of high school in what is it, 2016, I think, or 2017 recruiting class. So the guy can play. Obviously, he's had injuries, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's him. But you kind of want to start getting ready for the future, right? So I want to see Chaney. I want to see Knighton. My money's on Chaney just because I think he's a badass. And he's a 305 running back, and you know how I feel about those guys. Robert Burns too. But, yeah, man, either way, I think it's you can't go wrong, because I really think that Robert Burns will make some people open up their eyes if he is the number two, because he's no scrub. He's 5'11", 225. Yeah. He's bigger than Chaney. He can move. And I think it'll be a nice number two if it is him.
Yeah. And I think people, I'm going to say Jalen Knighton, and people know that I'm a big Knighton fan. I mean, the way you think about 305 running backs is the way I feel about 954 running backs.
Right. Okay.
You know, Tyrone Moss, all those great guys. I love Jalen Knighton's skill set for this offense. I think his speed is really what sets him apart from Chaney and Burns. I think he has that breakaway home run threat speed, kind of like a Lamar Miller or a Duke Johnson. I mean, the guy, his high school highlights are they're just insane. He had the second most rushing yards in Broward County history. And just within the first week of spring camp, I mean, NFL talent evaluators were at Greentree, and they were saying that, you know, Knighton could be the best running back on the Canes roster, like, right now, which is insane. So, it's crazy to think about, and I really just like Jalen Knighton. And what he brings to the table and everything like that. So I think that he will back up Harris, and I think he's going to be at like one of the best running backs we've seen to come out of Miami in a minute. So, but let's talk about Cam Harris, because I think people are severely underrating him heading into this year. What are your thoughts on Cam Harris, and how big of a year do you think he could have this season?
Definitely. I think he'll sniff the 1K mark, you know, because he had he had just under 600 yards last year, but limited duty. You know what I mean? That's how I felt about it, because yeah, we saw him, but you know, I don't think we saw him enough. And I'm looking at his stats right now. How many carries did he have?
I think he had just over 100.
Come on, man. That's, but anyway, what I like about his game, man, and is that he's a football guy. He's football. He's not a mouth guy, at least from what I can remember, from what I've seen. He's just going to run you over and do it again. I think he's underrated in the open field, okay? You know that he has a strength in his lower body, you know, tree trunks and everything like that. He's a strong guy. But he's a smart runner. He's full of he's strong in his faith, and I think that's gonna take him a long way, man. He has all the skills. I think he's good in pass blocking too. But I hope that he gets over that 1K mark. He definitely has the ability to do so. But something's telling me that we may not see any running back go over 1K just because of that's how spread around the ball is gonna be in the air and on the ground.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point too, and I have Cam rushing for like 800 to 1,000 yards. I think that is very
– yes.
I think that's a fair prediction. I mean, you look at SMU's running back last year, and I wish I had the stats in front of me, but he was well over 1,000 yards and things like that. And Miami, like, people don't realize how – I think we were 120th in rushing last year. 120th. With DJ Dallas, Cam Harris, and Lorenzo Lingard.
Oh my God, man! That that's your favorite guy calling plays, man. The new running backs coach over at Cincinnati. I know you don't say his name, but no. Yeah, that sounds like him.
And we were so excited last year about the running backs and what they were going to do. And they didn't do anything, but it wasn't their fault.
No, it wasn't, man.
It really wasn't. But I really think that the running backs are going to – and I wrote a few like last week or the week before on State of the U – why everyone is expecting this running game or this passing game to be just the main picture of this offense. But I really think it's going to be the running game. And because you also have to throw in Derek King's running ability as well.
Yep, exactly.
Because exactly. And going back to your point where you don't think Cam is going to go over 1,000 yards, and that's okay, because what if Cam has, say, 800 yards, Derek King has 650, and Jalen Knighton has 500 rushing yards.
Look, I'm glad you said that, because I think one of the key things for this offense on the ground, you have to set a benchmark as to how many rushing yards we are going to need to be the offense that we want. And I think you got to shoot for something like close to 3,000 yards on the ground over the season. As a team, definitely over 2,000, but I think to be the offense that, Marsh, we just got to score 30 points a game, man.
Yeah.
That's all we got to do. And to bring up your point about the SMU guys from last year, I pulled it up. Xavier Jones was their leading rusher. He had 1,276. Their leading receiver had 1,225 receiving yards.
And how many receptions? 119, I believe it was?
You mean Xavier Jones, the running back?
No, I was talking about the receiver. How many receptions did the receiver have?
He had James Prochet had 111 receptions. Jeez. For 12.5 and 15 touchdowns.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you realize our leading receiver last year had like 40 catches or 50 catches?
Dude, we are in for fireworks, because think of just can you imagine Lashley coming in here and be like, look at these toys I have with. I didn't have this at SMU, and he made it work. This is not SMU talent he's messing with, man. He must be like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah. And I think that's what really separates him from the last offensive coordinator we had, is that Lashley's coming in and he's seen these guys as what, you know, what my offense can do for these guys and everything like that. But our last offensive coordinator was like, well, I have my system, and these guys are just going to have to fit into my system. Yeah, like, man, there's no flexibility.
He was trying to fit how does it go? A square peg into a round hole or whatever it is?
I don't know. It's something just too – it just pisses me off just to talk about. Okay, so running backs and receivers – I think most people are fairly confident in quarterbacks and running backs. But let's go to the wide receivers, because a lot of people are questionable about the wide receivers. They are worrisome because Jeff Thomas is not here. KJ Osborne is not here. And we have a bunch of guys who on high school tape and high school rankings, things like that, you know, they're very, very good, but they just haven't been able to do a lot at Miami yet. So let's talk first. Who are your three starting receivers in this offense?
That's tough, man. And obviously I'm going off of potential, because a lot of these guys, they haven't shown what they can do consistently. And that's the name of the game. What can you show me? What can you do all the time? I don't want it one game in a row or two games in a row, whatever, all season long. So, I mean, and I hate to do this, because a lot of people are saying that, you know, he's tailor-made for this. But top three, I'm leaving out Mike Harley, because – and I said it last year, I was wrong. Ooh. This has to be Mark Pope's year. This has to be a breakout year for Mark Pope. It has to be. I got – in no particular order, I'm not saying that he's going to be the one, but I got Pope, okay? I got Wiggins. You got to have Wiggins, because, I mean, the guy's 6'3", 195, and to me, he broke out last year. You know?
Yeah.
Him and I want to say a freshman, but I don't – I really think it's going to be Peyton. I really think it's going to
be
Peyton.
Okay. I think it's going to be those three guys. Well, I think a lot of people look at are freshmen at any position, and they want to throw them in there just because they're freshmen. Like, a lot of people think that Restrepo is going to have a big year, and I'm like, I don't think he's going to have a big year, and I think a lot of people are just saying that just because he's a freshman, and people are just – we're just excited about his signing. Restrepo doesn't need to have a big year right off the bat. But I like how you said Peyton. Peyton is a guy that I feel like ever since last March or last April, we have heard so much about.
Yeah, man.
So much about. And I'm not saying that I'm not buying it. I just kind of need to see it at this point. So my three receivers, I'm going to go with my guy, D. Wiggins. He's going to be that deep ball threat, and really him and King, I think, are going to have a huge season together. Then I have Mark Pope on the other as the X receiver, Y receiver, whatever. But, yeah, I got Mark Pope. I'm on the Mark Pope train. I think that he is going to have a big season. I think Wiggins will lead Miami in receiving, but I have Pope having a big year. And then my third guy in the slot is going to be Mike Harley. I really love Mike Harley's game, and I just love Mike Harley as a player. He reminds me a lot of, you know, Braxton Berrios, his senior level or his senior season. I think Mike and Harley brings such leadership and things of that nature to this locker room. And when you think about it, I mean, Harley's the only senior receiver. He's the only one that's really been there for a long time. And so he's going to be that leader. And so, and honestly, I think Harley broke out last year as well. I mean, the Louisville game, he had some big catches against Florida State. And we just see what Harley can do when he's in the open space. His speed is really something.
It is. 38 catches for 485 yards last year. 3 touchdowns, 12.8 average. Wait a minute. Yeah. So that was good for second on the team. You know what I am? I'm surprised. Actually, no, third on the team in terms of receiving yards, because Brevin was number 2, which I'm surprised to hear you say that you think Wiggins is gonna be the leading well, did you mean receiver from the position?
Yeah. I meant leading receiver as a wide receiver.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Because I know how you feel about Brevin.
Yes.
But man, look, I'm all for it if Harley can continue what he did last year and better his numbers, because I'm hoping that Miami has at least 3, maybe 4 guys go or sniff the 500 receiving yards mark. Because, I'm going back to last year and SMU, Marsh, they had rushing, here it is, receiving. They had 3 guys go over 700 yards receiving. And of those 3 guys, one of them was over 1,200 yards. That's crazy.
That's just what we've been waiting for. Like, that's what – we have all the receivers that could make that happen.
Yep.
We just haven't had a system, and we just don't get the ball, to our playmakers enough. I mean, SMU was running 80 plays a game last year. We were around, 66.
That's just – they ran I think I read somewhere that they had a game where they ran, 50 plays at the half.
Yeah.
And Miami had a run in a game. They had run 60-something or whatever. And it's just are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But Miami had everything in the book. You want height? We got height. You got speed? You want speed? We got speed. You want guys that can do it? Mark Pope is 6'1". He's not a small guy. I feel confident in throwing him a fade ball. But I do not want to see Mike Harley throwing a fade. I don't want to see that. Give me Peyton. Give me Wiggins. Give me even Redding, okay? Give me that or whatever. Keyshawn Jordan, Brevin Jordan, anybody like that. But don't give me the smallest guy in the field. Throw him a fade.
Oh, my gosh. I think it was the Virginia Tech game last year where they tried to throw Harley a fade and it was intercepted. Oh,
yeah,
it was so bad. I was so pissed watching that. Okay, so on the receiver side, I think there's either 4 or 5 true freshmen. You got Dazlin Worsham, you got Xavier Restrepo, Keyshawn Smith, Michael Redding.
Right.
And then Jeremiah Payne's a redshirt freshman. Out of those 4 true freshmen, who could you see having the most impact on this year's team?
Keyshawn. Keyshawn. Yeah. And I'm glad you're asking that because, look, I love X. And I think that – this is what I think about the freshman receivers. When their number is called upon, I don't think they're going to miss. I think they are going to impact the game when they are called upon. Okay, I don't think they're going to take passes because X is zeroed in as focused as you want him to be. Okay, and Keyshawn Smith. Okay, I had a chance. This was back in February. I spoke to his coach. All right, his high school coach, and he compared it to Santana Moss. You know what? I'm gonna find it and I'll retweet it for the masses because people probably forgot. I mean, like I said, this was February, but in any event, speaking to his coach, really cool guy. His coach was recruited by Miami, by the way. Ended up playing receiver for Fresno State with David Carr back in the day.
Okay.
Big guy, cool guy. I asked him because I needed to know. I said, look, what are we going to get? Who do you compare him to? You're a Miami guy. You wanted to come to Miami. Give me somebody. And he, without hesitation, said Santana Moss. And he used things like burst and separation and speed. And I said, holy crap. I had to hold on to my chair. I almost fell out of my chair because isn't that what you want to hear when you think about a Miami receiver? When he said burst, he emphasized, he said, this is what made him get stronger and faster. Once he was already a natural athlete, but once he got in that weight room, things just took off. So my head automatically went to Philly. I'm thinking if a high school strength and conditioning staff can make his game, you know, so much better, what the hell is Philly strength and conditioning going to do? And that's where I started thinking, you know, all-star type stuff. So I think it's going to be Keyshawn because he was already making noise in the spring before COVID happened.
Yeah, he absolutely was. And he's got great sights. He's got track speed just like Santana did. And so I'm very, very excited about our freshman receivers. I love Keyshawn Smith. I love X. Dazlin Wurstrom is a really good possession receiver. And then Michael Redding could be the most talented out of all of them.
Exactly, which is crazy.
Which is insane. So in my opinion, I see either Keyshawn or Redding. That's hard to say because Redding is coming off a wrist injury, I think. But I could see Keyshawn or maybe even X having, you know, an impact on this year's team. But receivers, I think this year could be a transition year, like a learning year. But I think the future of our wide receivers is insane. I think it could be so incredibly good, especially with the three guys we have signed in the 2021 class. But okay, tight ends. My favorite position on offense.
Let's do it.
Okay, Brevin Jordan, this is probably his final year with the Canes, sad to say. But we got him. I don't think there's any question whether he is going to start or not. He is our biggest threat on the offense, you could even say. He was a finalist for the Mackey Award last year. One of the best tight ends in the country. He had some injury problems last year. What do you think we're going to see from Brevin his junior season?
A lot like Derek King in the sense that he says, you know what? I'm going to make this my money year. Okay. Because if you, and I know it's only social media, but I mean, that's really, I don't know the guy personally. That's what I can go off of. He seemed like he's focused too. He seems like he's kind of pissed off because I think that he thinks that people are writing him off. But why are you writing him off when he was injured? It's not like if he, you know, didn't do anything in his – he was the leading receiver on the team last year. I'm pulling up his numbers now. He had 35 catches, which did not lead the team, but his 495 yards did. Actually, no, I'm sorry. KJ Osborne led the team. He was second on the team in 495 yards. Only had two touchdowns. One of them was against Florida. But this is a guy. Remember that FSU game in 2018 when he scored the touchdown to go ahead?
Yep.
Did he come up right in that, or was he lined up in the slot? He was lined up in the slot.
He was
right?
Lined up in the slot.
Okay. You got a tight end that can line up in the slot. A 6'3", 245 tight end that can line up in the slot. If you want to go old school, okay, you can put him, and I think we are. I think we're going to see some old school at some point. You could even line him up as a fullback if you want to, because I don't know if you remember. I mean, I know you don't remember, but I'm sure you watched the game. Shockey in a national championship game against Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
He's touchdown in which it was a swing pass out of the backfield. He has a type of ability where he can line up anywhere, cause mismatches. You could flank him out wide. You could throw him a fade in the end zone. I think that's going to be Derek's number one target. It's got to be because a tight end is quarterback's best friend. What better weapon do you want than a Mackey finalist?
Exactly. And with a quarterback like Derek King and an offensive coordinator like Rhett Lashley, Brevin could win that Mackey award easily.
Yeah.
Like the dude had, I think, 495 yards last year, was so underutilized, it was infuriating. Because you saw him on that first drive against the Gators, that first game against the Gators, and then it was only like the Virginia Tech game, other than that, where he was really a factor in the game. And it just pissed you off so much because you knew what a difference Brevin could make on this offense. But I digress because I think Brevin is going to have unbelievable stats this year. I mean, you saw what Kyle Branson did at tight end for SMU last year. The dude was everywhere. Lashley knew exactly how to use him. And I see a lot of him in a guy that you and I are both fond of, and that's Will Mallory.
Oh, I love that guy. Another guy I don't know personally, but I want to hug him.
I love him. I love Will Mallory. Okay, so he is also going into his junior season. I think that this is finally the year where we see Mallory really, you know, show people all these idiots on Twitter who think he's just not good. I think that this is the year where he proves them wrong. What do you think about Will Mallory?
Dude, I hope at some point, or maybe, I don't know, part of how much of a staple in the offense is going to be, but him and Brevin in there at the same time, I'm dying for it. I want to see it so bad because, and you already know what I'm going to say about Will Mallory, but I'm going to repeat it again. This is my favorite thing to say about him, how the guy is a senior in high school, made it to the state championship track meet, okay, and finished third in the 110-meter hurdles. So he has speed, okay? Yes, he had a case of the dropsies every now and then, and it cost us, you know, whatever, but he's a natural talent. And when guys like Roe, and then Brevin, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, how can you not get excited? He has a bigger frame, catch radius. He's probably as fast or faster than Brevin. That guy needs to get the ball thrown to him.
Absolutely. He's great in the open field. I love Will Miller. I mean, he can move like a receiver. He really he just has great – he's so fluid in the open field. And then the other tight ends on the roster, it's Larry Hodges and Dominic Mamorelli. Do you think we see any of those guys? Like, do you think that those two really make a name for themselves this year, or do you think that we still have to wait for them?
Well, you got to think about it. Larry got some snaps. I don't know how – I can't recall how much he saw the field before Brevin got hurt, but I want to say that the majority of his time was when Brevin was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Red freshman Dominic is a true freshman. You got to wonder about Dominic, you know, and this goes to the receivers too. The freshman receivers, you know, they can play four games and still get redshirted or – did I say that right? You can play four and still get redshirted, right?
Yeah, you can play four, and yeah, four games is the limit.
Okay, so I don't think we're going to see much of him at the tight end spot, but maybe on special teams. So, you know, are these guys going to end up redshirting? Are they going to play four games? Are they going to play more? I don't know. But Morelli, not expecting much from him. I like Hodges because he reminds me of a Chris Herndon. You know, kind of like a Swiss Green Knight, he can do it all kind of guy. 6'2", 230. And I think that's you know what I kind of see in him. I'm hoping that's Khalil Brantley. Khalil Brantley. I know we're not gonna see him this year, but he's fast.
Yeah.
He's like fast.
Yeah, he's good.
And he's only like 6'2", maybe you know a little over 200 pounds, whatever. But I like Hodges a lot, man. And I think that if called upon, that's a dependable guy with you know at least a year's experience.
Well, and also I think an interesting point to make is. Before the schedule got switched around, we were under the impression that we would be playing Temple, Wagner, then UAB. And so that would have allowed a lot of time for the freshmen to get in, things like that. We don't have that luxury anymore.
Very true.
Because we only have one non-conference game, and then it's into the fiery pit of hell of the ACC. So I didn't even think about think about that till then, because, I mean, who knows now how much some of these true freshmen are going to get to play. But tight end, I think we can all agree is we're probably the most confident in the tight end position on offense. I mean, Brevin Jordan is a future first-round pick. I think Will Mallory could still be a first-round pick. Like, his talent
is now, though.
The time is absolutely now, and then next year when Brevin is gone. Okay, the last position group that we have to talk about, and the one that probably scares the hell out of you and I, it's the offensive line. And I know that this offensive line is going to improve vastly. I mean, it is going to look like a completely different unit in my eye with Garen Justice and also with Jared Williams. And then also, I mean, you got guys like Corey Gaynor, Scaife coming back, and so – but the biggest news of the offseason, besides Jared Williams coming here for the Canes offensive line, is Navon Donaldson will be redshirting this season and coming back as a senior, redshirt senior in 2021. So how do you think that will affect the offensive line? And just right off the top, let's hear your starting five offensive line for Miami.
Okay, so from right to – well, left to right, sorry. Let me see. So hold on. Where am I looking? Well, not left to right, but Gaynor's got the center position. I think he's going to start at center. I love Gaynor. You know, I think you do too. You're high on him. The guards are going to be Clark is going to be one of the guards, left or right. And the other guard is got to be, I'm thinking Scaife, right? Cause I think he's better at that position than he is tackle. And then right tackle, you got obviously Jared Williams. And then Zion Nelson, I don't think people should write him off, man.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, a rough freshman year, but tons of experience. He's up to 312 right now, according to I'm looking at it right now. 6'5", 312, according to MiamiHurricanes.com. It's no longer HurricaneSports.com, guys, in case you've never noticed or haven't noticed. Ever since July 1st, the website has gone a complete makeover, and it's awesome. So it's MiamiHurricanes.com now. So he's up to 312 on that. And the other possibility at left tackle is going to be – who am I missing?
You got John Campbell.
Yeah, so I don't think the left tackle is set in stone. I think it's between Campbell and Zion, and I'm okay with either, to be honest with you. And I'm not giving the hell that people are about Zion last year. I mean, it's not – that guy was 240 coming in. It's kind of unnatural to game the amount of weight that he did so fast. He had a lot to overcome, dude. A lot to overcome. So those are my five.
Okay. All right. Okay. So for my five, I'm going Jared Williams at left tackle. But also, kind of like just what you said, I think left tackle is very much in the air. I could see him starting at left or right. So at left tackle, I got Jared Williams. At left guard, I'm kind of struggling with this one. I kind of want to put Ja'Kai Clark in at left guard.
Why not?
Okay. Right. And then center, Corey Gaynor. Right guard, I'm putting DJ Scaife, who I love. I love DJ Scaife, and I think that people automatically think he's bad just because of our bad offensive line last year. Scaife only allowed like two or three sacks last season, which is pretty damn impressive given we gave up about 25 sacks as a whole last game.
So
I got Scaife at right guard, and then I'm gonna put in John Campbell at right tackle. John Campbell is a player who, kind of like a Nesta Silvera or a D Wiggins, like this, or a Mark Pope, like this is the year for Campbell to make his name. Like, this has to be the year. Like, I feel like we've been hearing so much about John Campbell. And, yeah, I don't know. Like, this is just the season. I think that he's going to do pretty well. And I really, really have confidence in Coach Justice and this offensive line moving forward.
Yes.
I really do. Like, even last year with Coach Butch Berry at offensive line, I never got the feeling that he was meshing really well with his offensive linemen and his players. Now, I can just tell – that Justice is getting through to these guys.
They're buying in. They seem really, really excited. And to your point about Campbell, man, I mean, yes, when you have a guy that chose Miami over offers from, you know, Bama, Auburn, Florida, and Florida State, again, I'm getting this information from, you know, the MiamiHurricanes.com, our website. Obviously, the potential is there. And I know you hate that word, but it's there. It's just, I mean, I don't blame you. But you got to come through at some point. The thing with him, he's a redshirt sophomore. So that's good. You know, he's still got 3 years. Sophomore, junior, senior, 3 more years, which is great, you know, if he sticks it out the whole time. And 6'5", 3'10", the size is there. It's just, with every position on this team, it's in between the ears with these guys, man.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I think having a guy like Jared Williams is going to help a lot, too, this year. A guy that has blocked for De'Aaron King, a guy that has, you know, been in this kind of offense, he's going to help guys like a Ja'Kai Clark or a Corey Gaynor or a DJ Scaife. And so if our offensive line can just do your job and do it, like, just please, like, please just give us 30 points. Just give us 28 points a game.
Yeah. The thing about it, Marsh, is they don't even have to be elite. They don't even have to be the best because of who you have at quarterback, okay, because of the scheme. And something breaks down. I hate to put so much on Derek, but he's kind of like your safety is on defense. He's kind of like your safety on offense. Like, if everything's breakdown, you could depend on his legs to make something happen. Either, I'm not saying go 50 yards and house it, but at least he could get out of some trouble, maybe throw it away, do some Russell Wilson magic, maybe find something. I don't know. But let me ask you something. I have a question for you.
Okay.
About Jared Williams. Why is it that you like him on the left? Is it because of his experience? And why don't you like him? Not that you don't like him on the right, but for me, it's about familiarity and why I said, and he absolutely can start on either side, mm-hmm. left tackle, right tackle, but that's why I put him on the left. On the right. Why do you like him on the left?
I just think that in general, he is our, because I know he is, he started mostly at the right tackle. I know he does have some experience at left tackle, but in my opinion, left tackle is just the position on the offensive line that was glaring the most, and it was obviously the one that was the biggest trouble. If Jared Williams can come in there with his okay, so we were just talking about Jared Williams. Sorry, there's a little technical difficulty. Jordan is usually here, and Mike and I don't know what the hell I'm doing with this tech stuff. So but we were talking about Jared Williams. I think he's going to be left tackle. Mike thinks he's going to be right tackle. I think that 50-50 Canes fans in general are kind of split on this. I think left tackle is just, you need your most experienced lineman there, and you need, honestly, your best offensive lineman there. And if he can, and if he has already proven that he can play left tackle, then, you know, I would just go ahead and do that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't have a problem with that at all. Yeah. At all. You know? And you know how I hate position switches, but technically it wouldn't be a position switch for him. But it makes sense. You know, you got familiarity with your boy from Houston. And so I'm all for it. I'm all for it. And in the right tackle, Campbell did play right tackle last season, right?
Yep.
So there you go, man. It's a win. It's a good situation either way you look at it.
Yeah, definitely. And do you think that there's anybody who we haven't mentioned on the offensive line that could possibly break out, like Jalen Rivers or someone like that, or Kaleon Herbert? Anybody?
Oof. I want to say Osman, and I'm gonna butcher his last
name. Osman Traore.
Hello.
Traore.
Yes, I want to say him just because, I mean, there was some noise about him, you know, briefly, whatever. I want to say him. Rivers, yeah. I mean, why not? I think at some point, because Kelvin Harris likes him a lot, too.
Yes. Do you remember that when he came on the show and he was talking about it? It was like back in December.
Yep. He likes him a lot, too. So I'm just interested in seeing how they're going to play with like their eligibility and how much you're going to – because, look, none of these guys are going to play special teams. So there's really – unless injuries happens, there's really no need to play them north of four games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I think is a great thing. But I like Chris Washington, too. I don't think we're going to see a lot of him this year. I think he's probably going to develop and, you know, probably gain some weight or whatever. But between Triori, sorry if I'm butchering his name, and Rivers, I think he has a chance to do something.
Okay, yeah. I really like Osmond Triori. I was big on him when he signed to Miami out of Hutchinson Community College. But I know that he had some time with the first team offense during spring, and so I think it's going to be interesting how they approach this guard situation with Donaldson out, because I know Ja'Kai feels more comfortable at the center position, and I think he is the future center after Corey Gaynor leaves, but I don't know. And then the question is, do you put Scaife back at right tackle, and then you could put both Ja'Kai Clark and Osmond Traore at the guard position? So I really don't know. And so the offensive line, I think we're going to see a lot of changes and a lot of, you know, moving guys around within, you know, maybe just the first few days, just to see where guys are most comfortable.
Right.
So, yeah, as far as, I mean, what else do we need to cover on the offense? I think we did it pretty thoroughly.
We pretty much went over everything, but another comment on the offensive line, you want to know what, correct me if I'm wrong, like feel free to just cut me off in the middle of my sentence, Mike Beamer, what the hell you're talking about, because I've never seen it until it happened in the Al Silver, Al Bronze era, okay? And what I'm talking about is this revolving door in the middle of the game between offensive linemen. You see that with a defensive line. You want to keep them fresh. You want to keep attacking. I could get that on the defensive line. But on the offensive line, I think out of every position on the team, that is the one that needs to be in sync and in harmony the most with communication. So switching out guys so much in the middle of a game on the offensive line is kind of crazy to me. Do you remember when they would do that? It was like wholesale changes on the offensive line during the middle of the game. I'm like, what's going on? You know, like that's crazy, but I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I mean, during the game, maybe you sub a guy out here and there, but I'm talking there was three and four guys subbing, and I'm like, what the hell? Was it just me? Is that something that happens?
I'm sorry, that was just so funny. But yeah, it has definitely happened over the past few years, and where one guy, I mean, they do the same thing with the quarterback position. And where, you know, one series you have one tackle in, then the next series you have another tackle in. And I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. Like, but I think that just Coach Justice is a lot more professional and he knows what he's doing, or at least we need to. I think we're all under the impression, very confident in Coach Justice. So.
Man, dude. That guy's the man, dude. His recruiting is impeccable.
He's unbelievable.
He knows what he's talking about. He has experience. Went to West Virginia. When was his playing days at West Virginia? Not exactly sure when they
were.
So
he played like probably from like 2000, like 01 to 04 or something like that.
Okay. So he lost to Miami plenty.
Yeah, I think he was on the teams that lost to Miami, and then he went and obviously coached. He has head coaching experience, offensive coordinator experience, play calling experience. The dude is one of the best hires that Miami has made in a long time, and that goes along with Lashley and Likens. So I love just those three so much, and I just from where we are right now compared to where we were last year with our offense, it really is night and day.
Yeah,
it could not be more different. And are you gonna try and go cover some practices at Green Tree?
I would love to. Definitely gonna go ahead and try. You know, get these credentials in, because unlike you have the luxury of getting that done last year. I never had a chance to, so it'll be my first time, you know, covering a practice or whatever. But yeah, man, I need to. I haven't even been inside of the facility yet. I've never stepped foot inside of it yet.
It's pretty cool. I won't lie. Like, the indoor practice facility is pretty awesome. And when it's 105 degrees out on Green Tree, like, you're begging the guys work, like, helping the team and the media, like, that they are going to go practice inside, because my God, it is so hot out there. And it would be a blast if you, me and Gabby were out there covering a practice. Man.
That would be a lot of fun. One thing I wanted to say about Coach Justice, enjoy him while he's here, dude. Enjoy him while him and Lastly, because Larry Bluestein, he happens to think that those guys are on a meteoric rise. That's exactly what he said to me. And so he pointed out Lastly and Justice as guys, enjoy him while you can. So.
So Jordan thinks that we will have Lashley for maybe 1 year. I think that we get Lashley for 2 to 3.
Same. I say 2 to 3.
Yeah, and I think Justice could honestly become the next offensive coordinator, or Likens.
I would love that, because somebody's gonna go, okay?
Yeah.
And you would rather have somebody that's already in-house, you know, maybe keep the same offense. If it's not going to be the same, tweak it just a little bit. But yeah, I could see him or Likens being our next offensive coordinator if Lashley is the one to leave first. But yeah, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about a promotion. I just thought about, you know, they're going to be gone. But mm-hmm. Good point. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be opposed at all if that was the case. If these guys do produce for the Canes, and the Canes produce offensively, which I think is going to happen. I think mm-hmm. this is just a turning point in the program. So I am so, so excited. I just want to get down there and actually see this offense in practice, God. Things like that. And have we decided whether it's going to be Temple or UAB for our non-conference game?
I haven't heard anything. I would think that it's probably going to be UAB just because of location, and it's a shorter distance to travel. You know what I'm saying? But then again, you know, we're going to Louisville, and where else is the longest road trip? We're going to Virginia Tech. So I get it. Those are conference games, but still, you know what I mean? I don't know. I would guess UAB, but I don't think anything official has come out yet.
Okay. All right. Well, we will be locked and loaded whenever that news comes out. Mike, thank you so much, brother, for helping me co-host. And I know that we're going to link up when I get down there. I am so excited to get back down to Florida. Oh, my gosh. It's been way too long since I've been home. But hope you guys enjoyed this offensive preview for your Hurricanes. Jordan and I will probably be back hopefully on Thursday to cover Leonard Taylor's announcement to Miami. But other than that, man, yeah, thanks for coming on, Mike.
Thanks for having me, dude. It's always a pleasure. Ask me whenever. You don't even have to worry about it. I'll hop on. And thank you, man. It was a lot of fun, as always.
And before you leave, why don't you tell the people what you got going on at Sirius?
Oh, man, it was awesome. So Sirius XM, channel 145. Slam Radio, your boy went national, man. It's I'm still doing WVUM every Sunday. Well, once school starts, it'll be every Sunday. I'm doing that on Sunday mornings, but yeah, the Michael McCoy Show with Marsh Thomas. You know, I mean, I think we got something good going. We, you know, every time, like you said, we hit record, it's a lot of fun, and you know, we have a good chemistry. So yeah, man, Mondays on every week, Monday from 12 to 2. Your boy's going to be talking Canes, you know, NBA, NFL, any of the latest sports headlines. And I'm really excited. I'm really happy to have that platform, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be fun. And Jordan and Derek Coe have their thing going on, too, on Sirius. Yes. So a lot of good things happening. Yeah, a lot of good things happen for the boys. Okay. All right, Mike. We will talk to you later. And we will talk to all you guys later on Thursday. Let's hope for a big announcement. So go Canes.
Hey, have a safe trip, man.
Thanks, brother.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like.